Hi, this is Robert A. Schuller, and I want to welcome you to The Call, which is a monthly call brought to you as part of the Robert Schuller Ministries Church with No Walls. This ministry has no central meeting place, but instead we are here, we're there, and we're around the globe doing God's work anytime, any place.
And hi there, I'm Donna Schuller, and we want to thank you for joining Robert and I on The Call, which is a telephone service, a church service held on the 15th of every month at 6 p.m. Pacific time. You know, we chose this time so we could have people from the East Coast join us, and this evening promises to be another really special time together as we pray, we read Scripture, and we'll hear a brief message on transformation, which is based on the Scripture found in Romans 12. And in just a few minutes, we're also going to interview a very special guest. We have a really good one tonight, so I hope you all stay tuned. Remember also that we will also open the phone lines in a while, so make sure you have paper and pen so you can be writing down any questions you may have. And at the appropriate time, you can key in star 6, and we'll put you in the queue for your questions. So just remember, it'll be star 6 when we get around to asking for questions. I know we're going to have a really great discussion tonight because the guest is fantastic. And anyway, we just want to thank you again for joining us.
So we begin every church service the same way, and this church service isn't any different. This call is no different. And the way we always begin our church service is with prayer, because I really believe it's important to ask God to be in our midst, for where two or three are gathered together, there I'll be also. So let us come together and let us pray. If you're on the road, please do not shut your eyes. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes on the road. But you can still join us in prayer just the same. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We have this opportunity to come together from different parts of the globe, across the country, and join together in prayer and in worship. We thank you for the opportunities we have to be able to enlighten ourselves in new and beautiful ways. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your touch. We thank you for your love. We thank you for all things always. Amen. Donna, you're going to read for us?
I am going to read from Romans 12, the first few verses. So here now as I read, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And we know that God continues to bless the reading of his word as we continue to discuss transformation, Robert. So I know you have a few words to say about that, and then we're going to introduce our guest. So, you know,
it's a big theme. Yeah, it has been said many times that the most important 4 inches in life are the 4 inches between your right ear and your left ear. It is that 4 inches that houses your brain. It is your brain that thinks, that has those experiences which enlighten you and which transform you. And it is that 4 inches in between those 2 ears that think and create solutions and solve problems and create the future that is always more advanced than the past. And so it is an exciting topic to be able to talk about transformation. You know, the Bible often refers to it as being born again, as we are transformed from our evil nature to our spiritual nature, as we are transformed into the persons that Christ wants us to be. And transformation is something that is an important part of all of our lives as we grow spiritually, emotionally, physically, in the person that Christ wants us to be. It starts very, very small. It starts when two cells come together and suddenly there is a fetus within the womb. And I guess that's a perfect time for me to announce that my daughter, Christina, is expecting a child.
She was on last month with us.
Yes, exactly. Yep. She was on last month. And last month, it didn't exist, but today that does exist. That little child exists. And we saw our first picture of our baby, who's 8 weeks old. And my daughter said she said it was the most amazing thing she'd ever seen. She could see the heart beating, and she could see it moving its ligaments, and it's only 8 weeks old. Absolutely marvelous, miraculous intervention of God and how life works. And it starts there. And then the transformation that fetus will have when it's born and all of a sudden it sees light for the first time and it breathes on its own. The miraculous thing that takes place is as the lungs start working for the first time. And from there it just continues until we reach the end of our life. Yesterday I was with my father, and many of you know that my father has been diagnosed with cancer, and isn't given, the doctors haven't given him much hope of beating that cancer. And so we're sitting there talking. He goes, you know, it's hard to imagine that I have this malignancy in my body, because I don't feel like any different. I don't feel sick. And my mother reminded him, well, Bob, you did have a loss of blood and you were in the hospital. So that's a pretty good clue right there. But right now he's feeling great. He's not losing any blood. And so it's hard for him to imagine. But yet he and my parents both are making the emotional transition for eternal life. And if some of you saw my blog this week, you saw a picture of my uncle, my father's 11-year-old older brother, standing with him, and I watched them as they kissed and said goodbye and said, you know, the next time we see each other, we'll be in heaven. Transformation from the small beginning of two cells coming together to birth to living our lives as God would have us to live, and hopefully continuing to grow in wisdom, in insight, in love, in maturity, and coming to a position in life where we are, where my father is, saying, okay, I'm ready. And like he said to my brother, or I think it was my brother said it, my dad actually, my uncle said it to his brother, my father. He said, the next time we see each other, we'll be in heaven. And so life is all about transformation, the renewing of our minds. And so it is a beautiful concept of life, that the transformation of change is inevitable. And as long as we live, we can expect that to be the case. And that's true in every area of life, in government, in politics, in sports, and you name it, it's part of life. And so we must consistently renew our minds, open our hearts and our spirits to the realization that God will work all things to our good, that he is miraculous in that endeavor, and that no matter what happens, no matter what takes place, it works together for our good, because that's the promise that we have from God in his Bible, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. So that's my message, my quick little 5-minute message today. Perfect.
So. Thank you, Robert. You know, this isn't about one person talking to a group of people per se. It's very interactive, hour this call is. And as such, I think those of you that have joined us before know that each week we like to talk to a special guest. And like I said, tonight I have a wonderful guest on the telephone with us. And so it's time to introduce him. Our guest is Dr. Daniel Amen. Tell you a little bit about him before I get him to speak and ask him a few questions. Dr. Amen is an MD, a clinical neuroscientist, double board certified psychiatrist. He's a brain imaging specialist. He's a distinguished fellow of the American Psychiatric Association, and he's CEO and medical director of the Amen Clinics, Inc., which now have 6 locations around the country now, and he may be able to correct me if he's got more than that now because I pulled this bio off the internet. He's also a multiple New York Times bestselling author. I've read several of his books, including some of his books, including Change Your Brain, Change Your Life, and Magnificent Mind at Any Age. Other books include Change Your Brain, Change Your Body, Brain in Love, Healing ADD, Healing Anxiety and Depression, Making a Good Brain Great, and Preventing Alzheimer's. I just love, love the titles you come up with, Dr. Amen. Are you there, Doc?
Well, good evening. I'm so excited to be with both of you.
Thank you. Thank you. We're excited to have you. And you know, I think you've heard we've you know, correspond a little bit, and of course we see one another out socializing once in a while, and glad to call you a friend as well. And, you know, this call is dedicated to helping people achieve health and satisfaction in body, mind, and soul. And so I think we should just start right out by, you know, right off the bat by asking you about what you refer to as the 4 circles. So could you educate us, please, a little bit about those 4 circles?
Well, I actually went to medical school at Oral Roberts University. And as you walk on the campus, there are the praying hands, but also the triangle of mind, body, and spirit. And so my medical education was totally infused by that. But over time, I really think of people in 4 circles. That all of us have a biology, that the health of your brain really does matter, that when it's right, you work right. When it's hurt, brain injury, Alzheimer's disease, depression, toxic exposure, like firefighters being exposed to cyanide or carbon monoxide, when it's hurt, you're going to have trouble in your life. But it's not all just biology. There is also psychology and how you think. The moment-by-moment thoughts that go through your head, in addition to how you were raised, what past successes do you have, what past failures, past traumas. There's also the social circle, which is who you hang out with really does matter. There's a wonderful longevity study, and it said one of the best ways to live a long time is hang out with healthy people because their habits tend to rub off on you. And then the last circle, which most physicians never talk about, they're almost embarrassed about, is the spiritual circle, which is, yes, your relationship with God, but it's also your relationship with the past. For example, my grandfather. I was named after him. He was my best friend growing up. So your relationship with God, the past, the future. So one of my favorite things to do, I heard about your pending new grandchild, which I'm just so excited about. But I have 5 grandchildren. And nurturing them is really nurturing my future. So God, the future, the past, and the planet, because we're charged with really taking care of it. And so if you really want to understand why people are the way they are, you really have to understand the circles. The 4 circles, their biology, their psychology, who they hang out with, and what does their life mean? What is their sense of meaning and purpose?
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that.
So do you think there's there's one that takes a higher priority over another?
Well, of course. I mean, as a Christian, you always think it's your relationship with God. I have actually, so what we do at Amen Clinics is we do brain imaging work, and we've scanned and treated, goodness, our database now is 84,000 scans. We've done over 22 years. And I've seen some really healthy scans and some really terrible ones. But what surprises me sometimes is that someone can have a really lousy-looking brain and be very peaceful and happy inside. So it starts with the spiritual circle. But too often, especially in Christian organizations, so remember, I went to Oral Roberts University, also a graduate of Vanguard University, there can be this cognitive inflexibility that upsets me. Because it's like, well, if you're depressed, it's because you have sin in your life. And I hate that. Because if you're depressed, you may have had a head injury. And you may be just fine and spiritually. So I think it's really the interaction of all of them that helps us be healthy or makes us sick. But, you know, if I had to prioritize them, I would say that the spiritual circle is the most important. And then I would say it's really the biological circle, because when your brain works right, you tend to work right. And when your brain is troubled, I'll give you an example. And this is the one that just made me so passionate about our work. In 1995, my 9-year-old nephew Andrew attacked a little girl on the baseball field for no reason, out of the blue. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So his mother calls me up at 10:30 on a Tuesday night, and she's crying, telling me this. And I'm like, well, Sherry, what else is going on with Andrew? And she said, Danny, he's just different. He's mean, he doesn't smile anymore. And I went into his room today and found two pictures that he had drawn. One of them, he was hanging from a tree. The other picture, he was shooting other children. So if you think about it, we have this 9-year-old boy who is really Columbine, Aurora, Sandy Hook waiting to happen. But based on our imaging work, I said, you have to bring him to see me. And so I brought him to one of our clinics, and when we scanned him, he had a cyst the size of a golf ball occupying the space of his left temporal lobe. And, you know, there's just no amount of hanging out with the right people, doing psychotherapy, that was going to save this boy. We took out the cyst. His behavior completely went back to normal. And now it's 18 years later. He's employed. He has a girlfriend. He owns his own home. And, you know, if we wouldn't have figured out that he had a brain lesion, he could have hurt himself or he could have hurt someone else. And then, of course, we would have just judged him as a bad boy. And that goes on way too much in our society, because very few people actually ever look at the brains of people who have troubled behavior. Dostoevsky, one of my favorite Russian authors, said you can tell about the soul of a society by how, not by how it treats its outstanding citizens, but by how it treats its criminals. And my belief is Jesus would want us in the prisons making them well.
Yeah, it's real interesting you should bring that up. You know, right now I'm challenged with the connection we have. I'm hearing a lot of distortion in your phone, Dr. Amen. Is there do you have an earpiece by any chance that you're using that could cause that?
Now, unfortunately, I hear it as well. Shall I call right back?
Maybe you why don't you do that then?
Sure.
Hopefully that will give us a better connection.
Good. I'll call right back.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you.
So
it's really, I really love what he's saying about the spirituality first, biology second. And I don't know if many of if you had trouble hearing, but I was able to make out most everything. Weren't you, Donna?
Absolutely. Yeah, but we're just a little staticky. So.
Well, really staticky.
Yeah, so we'll get it better. We'll get
really,
it better.
Really,
really
difficult. Hopefully he'll be back right of it, right away. And we'll continue that conversation because I am really excited to hear more about this. But he should be on the line here any moment. But what did you get out of the? What do you think was the most powerful thing you heard about the spiritual side, Donna?
Well, I think it's a great reminder that what I pick up on is it's a great reminder that we need to look at the whole person. So when somebody's hurting, I mean, I pick up on the toxic exposure. That's a big thing today, especially there's so many chemicals and things we don't know about in our air, in our environment that we have no control over. I like to tell, because I'm a nutritionist and wellness person and work with clients privately trying to, you know, help them piece their life back together or help them with their nutrition sometimes only. I like to tell people.
He's back.
Okay, perfect. You there? Dr. Amon?
I thought he was back. So sorry. I kind of interrupted you there.
No, it's okay.
But we don't have...
Yeah, I see it's coming up, but it's not...
Is there a switch when you do?
Nope. That's his number there, but it's not. There's no volume. Dr. Amon, we see that you're on this panel, on my conference call panel here on my computer, but I see that we can't hear you yet. So I might want to try again if you hear me. Maybe hang up again and try one more time. So meanwhile, what I was saying is I think it's great that here he is a medical doctor and he really embraces the holistic, the whole person. I mean, there's very few medical doctors. More and more, I think, do it now. But it's so important to take in, you know, what has the person been exposed to? What is their psychology? What kind of people do they hang around with? And, you know, and I love the fact that he actually looks at the brain. I remember when I first met Dr. Amon, he said, it's interesting, though, because when people have heart problems, what does a heart doctor immediately do? They look at the heart. But you can have a psychological or a problem with your brain, and they just guess, a lot of people, a lot of doctors, they don't look at it. So when we first met him, I remember he told us that. He said, the brain is one of the only organs that isn't immediately looked at to say, hey, what's going on here? Let's get a picture of this. And that's what he does in his clinics with his brain scanning. Let's see if he's back.
So I am back.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, that sounds so much better.
Oh, much better. Okay, so where were we?
So we were talking about we were going through the spiritual and biological, and we concluded with the whole topic and I loved what you said about we tell a society by how they treat their criminals. And if you look at the Bible and apply that, how did Jesus treat the criminals who are being crucified next to him?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, today you will be with me in paradise. I mean, you can't treat a criminal much better than that, can you?
You know, I think it's just so important. When you look at the world through the lens of the brain imaging work that we've done, it begins to decrease judgment, increase empathy, and increase the alarm you really feel to help people. Because without a healthy brain, nothing in your life is as good as it can be, not your work, not your money, not even your relationship with God. When you think about it, I think about heaven and hell, so growing up Roman Catholic, I thought about hell a lot growing up. And, you know, the quality of your decisions are really a function in part to how your brain works. And for example, I did the world's largest study on active and retired NFL players. And there's just no question if you play football at a high level, you have brain damage because you end up getting hit in the head thousands of times. And your brain is soft and your skull is hard and the skull has multiple sharp bony ridges inside. So if you just understand the physics of it, you realize you cannot avoid having traumatic brain injury. And so when you watch the news you watch the sports, you watch ESPN, what do we see? well, we see the highlights of the games, and then we see who got arrested. And it's easy to say they're bad people, you know, they're entitled, spoiled, rich people. But, you know, it's important to sort of look under the hood and think about it differently. And, you know, they hurt their frontal lobes. Well, what do your frontal lobes do? So this is the largest part of the human brain. So it's 30% of the human brain, 11% of the chimpanzee brain. So it really is what separates us from our cousins. And it's hurt. And what does the prefrontal cortex do, or your frontal lobes? Focus, forethought, judgment, impulse control, organization, planning, empathy, learning from the mistakes that you make. And if you hurt
I hear you describing humanity. It's what my, as you said, it's what makes us different from the chimpanzees. Wow.
And if you hurt that part of the brain, so just think of a linebacker who's, you know, always going, putting his head, you know, toward the ball, but slamming his helmet against other people's helmets. And helmets don't protect you against brain damage. They protect you against skull fractures. You really can't be protected in a collision sport against brain damage. And so then you're not good with your money because that requires forethought. You're not good in relationships because even though your goal is to love your wife and stay married, as soon as you see some cute thing, you know, you're diverting your attention. You're not as good as a father because you can't pay attention to your children, and it's the attention that they need and crave. And so nothing in your life is as good as it can be. And one of the big things I've discovered is that mild traumatic brain injury ruins people's lives, and nobody knows about it because we're not looking at the brains of the people who have trouble. We're judging them as bad. We did a research project at Sierra Tucson. It's a large psychiatric hospital in Arizona. And what we found was that 44% of the new admissions to the hospital, especially their drug addicts, had a significant brain injury before they were admitted to the hospital. In Toronto, 58% of the homeless men had a significant brain injury before they were homeless. And, you know, if we're not in the business of rehabilitating people's brains, you know, the whole idea that, you know, jail is rehabilitation is just a lie. You know, it's just sort of ridiculous that what we should be doing is rehabilitating the organ that makes decisions.
Well, you know, the movie Jerry Maguire was about the life of Lee Steinbrenner. And Lee Steinbrenner is still working in that whole field of football management and sports management. And in football specifically, he's very, very adamant and is very aware of this brain injury and is one of the strongest proponents in, and maybe you've worked with him, maybe he's read your studies, but I know that it's probably one of his biggest concerns for his athletes is the brain injury and what takes place. So I think your studies and your input is making a positive impact in the sport. And as a result of that, they're in the process of working on better helmets to try and reduce as much brain damage as they can. And so hopefully that will result in some positive things.
Maybe we should take it. Would you mind if we took some questions now, Dr. Amon? And then we can continue to talk. We have, you know, half an hour left. But would you mind if we went ahead and to see if anybody has questions?
No, I'd be honored.
Okay, perfect. Okay, actually, I see somebody that I know quite well on there already. I'm going to engage her. I see my mom. Are you there, Mom?
Yes, I am, Donna. It's your mom.
Well, you have
as
questions?
Usual,
you
have I always have some input. I just wanted to say to Dr. Amon, thank you for when I had your Aunt Betty out here 5 years ago. Remember, she had brain injury from the two automobile accidents she had, and people kept trying to have her have Alzheimer's, but she didn't have those symptoms. She had different personality traits that were changed and all. But I just wanted to thank Dr. Amen for letting me know. I knew what was wrong with my sister, but no one else would accept it. And, of course, Aunt Betty passed away in April. But I just wanted to say thank you, Dr. Amen. I really enjoyed bringing my sister to you, and you helped immensely. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I'm grateful for that comment.
Hey, Linnell, do you mind if we ask you a technical question about the connection? Don and I are hearing your phone break up, just like Dr. Amen's. And I'm
you know something, Robert, it's been that way ever since you started. It's been breaking up. So it's not Dr. Amen, and it's not me. I think it's the connection at you.
How weird. So it's our conference connection. It's the
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's breaking up.
It's the host. The host. Okay.
So anyway, okay. It's still wonderful. I've enjoyed listening to Robert and you and Dr. Amen.
Thank you, Mom.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Are there other questions out there? Sorry about this connection. It's really interesting. We've had some minor problems, but this is the first time we've had, I would say this is the host company that's got some major problems. So I'm terribly sorry to all you listeners that were kind of, I guess, garbled up, or it seems like it's kind of skipping. But if you can be patient and just listen really hard, there's some important stuff. So if anybody else has any more questions, that'd be great. I've got the queue right in front of me. I'm looking at it, so just push *6, and we'll continue to talk.
I want to know more about, we've really gone through spiritual and biology, and I don't think we've gone into the psychology aspect as much. Am I correct, Dr. Amen?
Yes, well, that's just a very important circle, and often becomes ignored. And so I think of the psychological circle as how you think. And, you know, one of the things I've discovered as a psychiatrist is if I can get your thinking better, that your mood is better, your anxiety is better, your relationships are better.
Would you say that would be the cognitive side of your thinking process?
It's cognitive for sure, but it's also what you were programmed with growing up. And I have listened to your father for decades, and I know he knows this because he has had many sermons about it. What I call them is ants. These are the automatic negative thoughts that come into your mind and ruin your day. And many people, especially those who suffer with anger, anxiety, and depression, have very high ant populations in their heads. And so I'm also a child psychiatrist. And so many years ago, I got an ant puppet and an ant-eater puppet. And I'm teaching the kids I see to strengthen the internal ant-eater to get rid of these bad thoughts. And it's really simple. You have to practice it, right? If you want to have a great body, you have to work out. If you want to have a great mind, it requires discipline. So here's the exercise. Whenever you feel sad, mad, nervous, or out of control, I want you to write down what you're thinking. And so if I think, for example, my wife never listens to me, so that upsets me. And so I'll write that down. And then I want you to ask yourself some simple questions. The first question is it true? And if I go, okay, my wife, Tana, never listens to me, is that true? It's like, well, no, she listens to me all the time. But if I don't question my own thoughts, I believe them 100%, and then I act out of a lie, And so if I get the thought she doesn't listen to me, then, well, I now feel justified in being irritated at her or ignoring her or, you know, saying something nasty to her, all based on a lie. So the first question is it true? The second question is, well, can I absolutely know that that thought is true? So, for example, if I'm upset because I feel like I have to fire someone, and I don't like firing people, it's like, okay, what's the thought? I have to fire someone. I'm upset about that. And so is it true? Yes. Well, can I absolutely know that it's true that I'm upset? It's like, well, no, I want to fire them. That's why I'm thinking about it. The third question is, how do I feel when I believe the thought, Tana doesn't listen to me? I feel lonely. I feel angry. I feel irritable. My neck is tense. It's like, oh, but that thought's a lie. But it's having a very negative effect on my body. The fourth question is, who would I be without the thought? Well, I'd be a better husband. And then the coolest thing, the part I really like a lot, is take the original thought, my wife doesn't listen to me, or I don't want to fire this person, and then what you do is you actually flip it to its opposite. And so the opposite of Tana that never listens to me is Tana does listen to me. And it's like, well, is that true? And it's like, well, yeah, all the time. And all of a sudden, feeling bad because of the negative cognitions or the little lies ruining my life, the ants that continue to populate, they don't bother me anymore. And, you know, being a psychiatrist for so long, my patients are filled with these. And they should have taught you in second grade to not believe every stupid thought you have. But it requires some mental discipline. And when I get my patients to practice this, it's better than antidepressant medication because there's no side effects to it.
I believe that.
I mean, it's like free and there's no side effects. So I'm very excited about disciplining your mind. Philippians 4:8, think on whatever is true, lovely, worthy of praise. Let your mind dwell on these things. But we have very sloppy thinking in our society. And, you know, I always love it because of my four kids. I've been in all of their second grade classes teaching them and their classmates how not to believe every stupid thought they have.
That's good.
I just absolutely love what you're saying because it's so true and it's so accurate. How do you talk about doing an opposite when you use the illustration of I have to fire somebody. How do you deal with that? Do you actually say, okay, I have to hire somebody? Because I guess if you're firing somebody, usually you have to hire somebody, but maybe not. How do you deal with that?
Well, so the thought that bothered me was I don't want to fire this person. And initially I go, is that true? And it's like, yes, because it makes me upset. And then I go, well, can I absolutely know it's true? I don't want to fire this person. It's like, absolutely not. I totally want to fire them. And so the opposite of I don't want to fire this person is I want to fire this person. And that is actually more true than I don't want to fire this person. What I didn't want was to feel miserable. But the fact is, it wasn't me firing them. They fire themselves by not doing a job that is worthy of the salary that they're getting and the energy that we need to have a great business or a great ministry. And so it's the anxiety that keeps people in positions that they shouldn't be in. There's a great business book that I just truly love. It's helped me a lot, and it's by Jim Collins, and it's called Good to Great. And what Dr. Collins says is the first time you think you should fire them, you probably should. And I think maybe that's a little harsh, but it you know, if I begin to, you know, if you wouldn't hire that person again, you know, maybe it's a good time to think about moving them on.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. So if you're interested in asking Dr. Amen a question, it's very simple. All we have to do is hit *6, and you'll come up in our queue, and you can ask Dr. Amen a question. This is a very, very valuable opportunity that you have. And so I want to encourage you to ask questions today. I know we've got lots of questions ourselves, and we'll probably address many of those. Mm-hmm. But you'll probably want to ask the questions. And so, Donna, you want to?
Someone's here right now that wants questions, so I'm putting you on right now. Hello? Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
I've really enjoyed listening. This is Sherry Rodecker Kroll. I know Donna from Laguna High.
Oh, my gosh. I haven't heard from you in a long time.
Yeah. I was so excited to see this and have a chance to talk to Dr. Amen about my son. He's 13. We adopted him through foster care as an infant, but his birth mom used methamphetamine when she was pregnant, and they actually lived in a meth lab. And he's 13 now, but he's had a ton of behavioral problems, and I really, really would love to get his brain scanned. I'm just wondering if there are more things I can do than what I may be doing to help his brain recover, because I think he really took a hit. His problems are mostly behavioral and emotional. Like you were talking about the frontal lobe stuff.
Well, you know, we have just seen a ton of adopted kids over the years.
I'll bet.
A ton of drug-affected kids. And I always think the first thing really starts from looking, because if his brain is troubled, rehabilitating it as much as you can is so critical, because, you know, it's sort of almost unfair to punish them if the computer's not working right.
Yeah, I see that. I see that in action.
I love, you know, my two favorite words with parenting are firm and kind. Mm-hmm. I wrote a book called New Skills for Frazzled Parents because, you know, we just see so many troubled kids. Mm-hmm. And so the psychological circle is really important. Clear rules, positive reinforcement, consistent discipline. But that's not the whole story. If his brain works too hard, then he's worried and rigid and things don't go his way. He gets upset.
Big fight or flight thing. Really, really radical.
And sometimes one of their temporal lobes is hurt, especially if they have, if they're irritable. And so, you know, there are natural ways to go after helping to rehabilitate the brain. There's medication. But, you know, so I was a psychiatrist for nearly 10 years before I ever ordered my
mm-hmm.
first scan. And I was always feeling like I was throwing darts in the dark at my patient. You know, I have two patients. They both come to me. They have all the symptoms of ADD. One of them on Ritalin, radically positive response. I mean, it's like a miracle. The next person, same symptoms, put them on Ritalin, and now they want to kill somebody.
That's this
one. I'm like, now, well, how does that make sense? And how it makes sense is ADD is not one thing in the brain, you know, and you have to target mm-hmm. the treatment to that individual rather than a big category like ADD. And so I always think starts with imaging. How do you know unless you look? If he had chest pain, they'd be looking at his heart. If he had belly pain, they'd be looking at his belly. If he had bone pain, they'd be looking at his vein. You know, why are psychiatrists so special? You know, are we really smarter than the rest of our medical colleagues? I don't think so. And
we haven't seen that much. It's all been shooting in the dark. And he's been on 15 different medications, fortunately not all at once, but some cocktails. And it's just been checking him. So I'm wondering, do we still need to go to a clinic? Maybe, I think you have one in Newport Beach, don't you?
We do. We're just actually getting ready to move it to Costa Mesa. We're so excited.
Okay.
We're building on Bristol by the 405.
Okay.
But we'd be thrilled.
I would love that. We're living in Utah now. I'm from Orange County originally, but we're living in Utah. And this little guy, you know, 13's not too late, right? I mean, there's still possibly things that can be done.
35's not too late.
Okay, that's
know?
Good. I mean, nobody's hopeless. I liked what you were saying about the way society teaches their criminals, because in the public school system, that's kind of been his spot.
Right. And, you know, it makes you feel stressed and horrible as his mother. And he, you know, his self-esteem is probably trashed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, okay, I'm trying, I'm taking the medication, it doesn't work, what's the matter with me? And it's a horrifying process. I'm just writing a new show for public television called Healing ADD. And in it, I talk about this one kid who, when I saw him, he'd been arrested 10 times for violence.
Oh,
but only when he drank. And so as part of his legal case, I scanned him sober. His brain worked way too hard. And then I got him drunk, just like he got drunk on the night of the crime.
Yeah.
And it calmed everything down. So he totally understood why he drank, because he was self-medicating.
Yeah.
It rocked his frontal lobe, so he just had no judgment, which is what was getting him into water. And I said, you know, Joshua, you want to let me do your medication, because I'm just a heck of a lot better at it than you are.
Wow. Well, that's really, really neat. That gives me some hope, and it sounds like we'll need to be making a trip out there and see what's going on in there.
Okay, hey, thank you.
Well, I'll look forward to helping.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sherry,
for your
call.
Sure, thank you.
And again, if there's any other questions, you can simply dial *6 on your phone, and you'll be put in the queue to ask Dr. Raymond a question.
Dr. Amon, this might be a good time to ask, to have you announce, like, how, you know, there's probably people out there. We've noticed we've been doing these calls for almost a year. This is our 11th month. Next month will be our year anniversary. And we've noticed people are very shy. Robert also noticed that when he used to host a live radio show. People, you know, are pretty shy and reserved when it comes to asking questions. But I know there's probably people out there that want to know how to get in touch with your clinic, like for Sherry, who now lives in Utah. If maybe you could give them your website or a telephone number that they could call, that'd be a great time to let them know.
So the website is Amon Clinics. So Amon, like the last word in a prayer, clinics.com. And they can find us. We have 6 clinics, 3 on the West Coast, Newport Beach, San Francisco, Bellevue, Washington, and 3 on the East Coast, New York, Atlanta, and Washington, D.C. And we now see people from 93 countries. So we're very excited about what we do to understand and heal people's brains. I mean, the brain is just such a wonderful organ, and it has a great capacity for healing. And, you know, we are just so wonderfully made that, but you have to put it in the right environment. You know, I so often talk about, you know, I look at my patients and I go, what's your favorite plant? And, you know, often it's a rose bush, or there's a columbine flower that's amazingly beautiful, or my favorite, an orchid. If you're going to heal, say the orchid's damaged, the first thing you have to do is not put anything toxic in it. And so, you know, drugs and alcohol, and nicotine and caffeine really are not good for your brain. But what a lot of people don't know, and Nana, I know you know this, is that sugar and simple carbohydrates that turn to sugar, processed food dyes, food additives, artificial sweeteners, they're all terrible for brain function. So it's just like if you want a healthy brain and you want a healthy body, the first thing you have to do is stop poisoning it. And, you know, the analogy I love is if you had a $1 million racehorse, would you ever feed it junk food? You know, only if you were an idiot. And but you are worth so much more. And so brain health is really about caring and then avoiding anything that hurts it. So we've talked so far about traumatic brain injury. And with the last caller, with Sherry, we were talking about, toxic exposure in utero with meth exposure, which is just a horrible thing for developing brain, toxic food. So care, avoid things that hurt it, and then do things that help it. Prayer and meditation, we published a couple of studies, so clearly helps your brain, as is the right nutrients, exercise. And one of the ones that I really love is mental exercise, because your brain's like a muscle. The more you use it, the more you can use it. So learning an instrument, learning a language, learning about a new country, all of those things are really wonderful to optimize brain function. But if you're learning a language while you're eating your ice cream, you know, it sort of cancels it out. Or if you're doing a coordination exercise like dancing while you're drinking, it's like, please don't think of that as exercise.
They counter each other. The negative counters the positive. Totally get that.
Well, I had another question up here. He looks like he's gotten out of the queue. If the person that wanted to ask a question wants to come back on, push star 6 again. I'll get right to you, I promise. Otherwise, I do have someone that usually comes on these calls once a month, couldn't make it, and she had a question, and I promised her if we had time I would ask it. It actually has to do with relationships, and she was aware that you were a Christian, Dr. Amen, and she wanted to know about getting stuck. Let's see, let me see if I can paraphrase this and make it quick, kind of short. She's stuck in an unhealthy situation. She's always heard, or this is what she said to me, but Jesus says to turn the other cheek. And the question is, does this mean that she has to stay in an unhealthy relationship? And I promised I'd ask that question for her. How would you answer that? I think I know. But.
You know, maybe Robert has a better answer for me. I think if you're in a chronically stressful relationship and you've prayed about it and you've done the things you can do, I just have to tell you, so I get so many patients. People see me on TV or they read one of my books, and they look to their husband and they go, you're going to the Amen clinics. And they go, no, I'm not. And she's like, you're going or I'm divorcing you. And then they show up because they love their wife. And he's like, well, I'm here because I was threatened to be here. And I said, well, let's look. And, you know, if the brain is troubled, you are chronically stressful to your partner. And it is literally taking years off their life if you don't get well. Now, there's some people, because of how their brain is functioning or their own psychological or social or spiritual makeup, they go, it's not me. You know, it's my boss, it's my wife, it's my mother, it's somebody else, it's not me. And, you know, living with chronic stress with someone who will not get help is clearly going to take years off your life. And so I'm not a big fan. And I think one of the most difficult things I see as a psychiatrist is people marry each other and they're mismatched. Their libidos are mismatched. Their temperaments are mismatched. One's, you know, high extrovert, the other, and they're married to a high introvert, and they're just never having fun. So what I actually really want to do ahead of time, before people get married, is scan both of them and have this little dating service called brainmatch.com and
that
see, you know, are these brains going to make each other crazy? When I met my wife 8 years ago, first thing, you know, 2 weeks, I had her in the clinic and scanned her because I wanted, that was more important to me than seeing any other part of her body.
I love it. That's a good idea. I hope you go ahead with that. I really do.
Well, I don't think it's very practical to do that, but the thought is very reasonable and understandable. Perhaps in the future when the scans are more accessible, that would be something that would be possible. So anyway, Dr. Amen, I want to thank you for being our guest today. I want to thank you for all the insights that you've given. I want to thank you for all of this. The four circles, I love them, spiritual, biological, psychological, and social. And
I have a question before we let you go back to your busy life, Dr. Amen. And again, we really do appreciate it. My question is this. Is there anything that you're working on right now that you want our listening participants to know about? You've donated your time tonight to be with us, and I just want to make sure that there's something really important you want to talk about. I know you've got all kinds of things going on, but is there anything important that's coming up that you want to tell anybody about? Please, feel free.
Well, two things okay. Quickly. My book, Healing ADD, I just revised it, and it's coming out December 3rd. And I'm really excited about that. So people can learn more about that on our website. And one of the things that was actually just a huge prayer for me that God answered and allowed me to do is, together with my friends Mehmet Oz and Mark Hyman, we created a health plan for Saddleback Church called the Daniel Plan. We have been working on this for 3 years, and we're launching it internationally December 3rd. So the Daniel Plan book and church curriculum, cookbook is... So if you want to get your church healthy, we have developed a plan, tested it at Saddleback. The church lost 250,000 pounds the first year. And
wow.
We are, because you know the Bible Belt is widening, and this is a bad thing. Churches are about illness, and that really upsets me. Donuts, pancake breakfast, spaghetti dinners, ice cream socials. The food at church is a scandal. And when Donna, when you and I talked, and you said you had actually changed that. You know, I'm like, you know, you and I are like totally on the same page. Churches should be places of healing and health. And
right.
So we're really going after it in a big way. And so I would, if someone's church wants to get involved, danielplan.com. And I would be so grateful for your prayers because the devil's all over this one.
You bet.
I agree with that.
That's awesome.
Hey, well, thank you again. I think our time is up, and I just want to, again, thank you for participating and calling in Dr. Amen. And every church service, one of the things we do is we collect an offering. So this is our offering time. And so we want to give you an opportunity right now to support this mission and this church, Robert Schuller Ministries, Church with No Walls. We have local, national, and global projects that we are involved in. And if you have any questions regarding any of these projects we have, please feel free to contact us. You can contact us at Donna's email, which is Donna.
At DonnaSchuller.com.
Or you can reach me at Robert@SchullerMinistries.org. And to donate, which is what this offering time is all about, please go to SchullerMinistries.org, click on the donate button, which is on the right side of the homepage, and you can make your donation with your credit card, or you can mail your donations. Not email, you can't email a donation, but you can mail your donations to 919 Bayside Drive, E3, Newport Beach, California, 92660. That's 919 Bayside Drive, E3, Newport Beach, California, 92660. So that basically concludes our thing today. So we want to make sure that you join us next month, November 15th at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Every month, it's easy to remember, the 15th, it's time to get on the phone, and it's 6 p.m. Pacific, always 6 p.m. Pacific,
And maybe we'll give away some gifts next month because it's a year. We started November 15th.
Oh, cool.
So we'll give away some books and maybe, I don't know, maybe something else for some local people that live locally. Maybe a lunch or something like that. Lunch with us. I don't know. Somebody wants to have lunch with us. both Robert and myself want to thank you so much for participating in the call. We want to remind you that we will meet together again in this way on the 15th of each month. Please continue to email us with your ideas for future guests or with any questions you may have. Again, my email is easy. It's donna@donnaschuler.com, or you can email robert@schulerministries.org.
So, hey, you have a great night, a wonderful day tomorrow, a fabulous week, a better month, and we'll talk to you again next month on the 15th at 6 p.m. Pacific. And until then, remember that God is blessing you always through all things. Bye.
Bye-bye.